Live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that I refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April the 21st in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America is our guide, and absolutely we're convinced that the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers are one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We reject rioting. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Without further ado, a quick recap of yesterday's show because it's so relevant to today, it's not even funny. We had our guest on, Mr. Stuart Rhodes, founder and president of Oath Keepers, Guardians of the Republic, ladies and gentlemen. Honor your oath of office and join us. Oathkeepers.org. They've been trying to take down Stuart and crew for quite some time. The rhetoric relating to the Oath Keepers is out of control and off the charts. They say Brian Sicknick, or Sicknick, I guess is how you say his name, that they say that he died from being beat up by, insurrectionists at the Capitol. It's an absolute lie. Not only do the media, the mainstream press, tell that lie and get caught, but the House of Representatives literally used that lie in the impeachment trial in the House on the sitting president of the United States. It turned out to be a big old lie. He died of strokes and natural causes. DC coroner says an autopsy found no evidence that he had any reaction to chemicals and or internal or external injuries. Zero. There you have it. That's the coroner. Marjorie Taylor Greene proposes expelling Maxine Waters from Congress. Of course, Democrats blocked it. It'll get nowhere. The Republicans have no cojones. That's the bottom line. What a shame on the Republicans to allow Nancy Pelosi to literally incite violence, and they don't seem to care. The Trump hate coalition is crumbling, though. The insurrection probe is falling apart against the Oath Keepers. You know what? The feds are disgraced, Oath Keepers vindicated, as we see more and more and more of the truth come out. Donate to Oath Keepers. We need your most generous donations. Every penny will be used to defend the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. Oathkeepers.org/donate. Now, believe it or not, Oath Keepers got taken down. So you got to send them a donation now via the mail because they can't take credit cards, right? They shut down the Oath Keepers website entirely, but Oath Keepers got back up and running, thank heavens. But how do you charge credit cards, you know? Good point. Yeah, I see. Members of the squad, that's, Ocasio-Cortez and all the whacked out extreme communist socialists, you know, they have been pushing to defund the police, but it turns out they have spent thousands of dollars on security for themselves, according to Federal Election Commission records. So while they want to defund the police for the rest of us, they've got plenty of cash thanks to your tax dollars and who knows what else. They basically have their own police and protection. So they want to disarm us while they have armed guards around themselves is the point. Maxine Waters even went and, stirred the pot in Minnesota. Serious rhetoric, communist, whatever you want to call it, playbook headlines from Maxine Waters. But when she went, I don't know if you know this, but Maxine Waters requested a police escort for her recent trip to Minneapolis, when she told protesters to get more confrontational against law enforcement officers. Facebook and Twitter, by the way, are not censoring the video of Representative Maxine Waters urging violence. Protesters have got to get more active. We need to show we mean business if Chauvin is not convicted. Literally, tampering with a jury trial. No accountability. Zero accountability, ladies and gentlemen. Can you believe this? Minneapolis mayor whacked out Jacob Frey, I guess is his name. He got caught in the fray because he said regardless of the decision made by the jury, George Floyd was killed at the hands of the cops. What do you mean, regardless of the jury? You don't believe in the rule of law, my friend? Now you say, well, what do you say, Sam, now that the law is reversed? We'll get into it. Hang tight. That was Hour 1 of Liberty Roundtable Live yesterday. Second hour, we talked about how Speaker Nancy Pelosi defended whacked-out communist inciting violence Maxine Waters. And she defended her. She said, hey, to get more confrontational, Waters' comments did not amount to inciting violence at all. And she should not apologize for her rhetoric. So I kind of dovetailed this into, you know, cancel country star Morgan Wallace. Or Morgan Wallen breaks his silence. He's all feeling bad because he said the N-word. Which I'm not defending the N-word. What I'm telling you is, so Morgan Wallace loses his whole career, completely melts down, grovels and apologizes and because he said the N-word in a drunken party. He shouldn't have said it, I get it. But that guy melts down and Maxine Waters can incite violence and the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, defends her and says no harm, no foul, don't even think about apologizing. Ladies and gentlemen, somehow the cucking conservatives, I don't even know how to defend these people anymore. They're out of control. Look, folks, you should not apologize for standing your ground. Okay, now, if you say the N-word, you should say I'm sorry. You should say it was ill judgment, right? Because it's not a very kind thing to say. But should you melt down and fall on your sword? Absolutely not. When you apologize, you know what? You give them an inch in doing what's right. They'll just take a mile in abuse. The question we asked at the end is, can Morgan Wallace, the country singer, ever have redemption? And the answer is, I say unto you, nay. Sad but true. Apologizing is a fool's game, folks, in this regard, because you get nowhere. All right, we talked about the CDC, about 5,800 people, individuals who took the COCO vaccine, tested positive for the COCO. Yeah, what do you think of that? After receiving a complete dose of the vaccine, they still tested positive for the coronavirus. Now, they would say that's a small drop in the bucket. My response is, not if you ask those 5,800 people. How many people died, I would ask. I would also ask the next question, how many people got infected from those 5,800 people? I would also ask the question, does the vaccine work when you got to take some of the vaccines off the market because of the problems, and then other people are getting the COVID even with the vaccines? Does it even work? Is it safe? Is it effective? And the answer is we don't even know, but they lie and tell you that I have no credibility. Wow. A new study found, by the way, they say, that cerebral venous thrombosis, CVT, that's the blood clots, are far more likely to occur after someone attracts COVID-19, way more so than if you take the vaccine. So don't worry, the vaccines are safe and effective is what they're trying to tell you. But it's a lie study. Let me explain what I mean. I don't care if you get more blood clots from the vaccine or from the coronavirus. Okay? And the reason that I don't care is because remember, 98% of the people who have the coronavirus don't even come close to death. It's like less than 1% die, folks. And 85% plus of the people don't even go to the hospital. A significant number of the people aren't even sick. So let's say I get a little blood clot, but I don't get sick. I don't go to the hospital. Eventually, I get over it, and my blood thins out, and I'm all good. Compare that to taking the COCO vaccine and getting blood clots that kill you or cause significant harm. What I'm saying is to compare the two isn't a fair comparison. How many people have taken the vaccines? How many people have reported blood clots versus those who haven't? How many people? We don't have enough data to even analyze this in an honest way. I digress. Anyway, this vaccine stuff's starting to drive me nutso. It's so dishonest, so immoral, so criminal. Because of the dishonesty and the lack of transparency, it's not even funny. Senator Joni Ernst will introduce legislation aimed at defunding Planned Parenthood, the Protect Funding for Women's Health Care Act, would prohibit taxpayer dollars from going to abortions. Yeah, President Trump stripped Title X funding if they promote abortions or whatever else. That was good on Trump. And I appreciate Joni for trying to defund abortions, but you know what? I don't want to redirect the money to other women's government programs. Why don't we just quit spending the money, Joni? Redirect it, protect women, protect funding. Have you lost your mind? We're spending ourselves into oblivion, so I get that you want to stop abortions, and good on you. But don't use it for another socialist purpose. Please stop. All right, we talked about pregnancies, making profits from C-sections. Financial motives create a population of women who get C-sections but seriously don't need them, a new study shows. Yeah, in some places it's like 5% get C-sections, and in other places, based on financial rewards, it's over 30%. This just proves the profit motive of the criminals in charge of our health care system, whether it's abortions, whether it's C-sections when they're not necessary, whether it's vaccinations when they're not necessary. They're all in it for the cash. They're all in it to control you and me. Trust them? I think not. All right, the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department spent the last 3 months, listen, sending uniformed officers to private homes to hold down special needs adults and children who were crying and physically fighting against a forced government-mandated injection for the COVID. The sheriff's department finally admitted they were using the Johnson & Johnson shot that's been pulled off the market in these forced vaccination scenarios. Yeah, so the Johnson & Johnson was paused, right? For causing debilities and blood clots and everything else. Well, that's the one the Los Angeles County was forcing on people, using the government law enforcement to hold people down and give them the shots in Los Angeles County. Run from California like all HE double toothpicks, I'm telling you right now. And that's a recap. News the networks refuse to use starts on Liberty Roundtable Live in mere seconds.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. The government in Los Angeles County holding down people and forcing them to take the jab, the COCO vaccine. I got a real, real problem with that. I digress. News the networks refuse to use starts now. Jury pronounces former Minneapolis peace officer. They say peace officer, I think cop, Derek Chauvin, on all counts, after roughly 10 hours of deliberation. The jury of 5 men and 7 women unanimously pronounced Chauvin guilty on all 3 counts. Let's see, third-degree murder, second-degree murder, and manslaughter. Following the proceedings, Chauvin was immediately taken into police custody. He now awaits sentencing And I guess they say it could be 40 years, 25 years, and 10 years on each count in prison, respectively. The actual sentencing, however, they say, will be likely much lower because Chauvin has no prior convictions. The sentencing guidelines have, I think, what, 12 years for each count plus 4 years for a manslaughter charge. So what's that, 12, 24, and 4, 28. However, listen carefully, the prosecution is expected to ask for prosecution enhancements. So I don't really know how to respond to all this except for the judge revokes Derek Chauvin's bail and sets sentencing hearing for 8 weeks away. Time will tell where all that goes. We're going to get into our thoughts on this, the reactions from the extreme whacked out communist socialist left, and a whole lot more as we introduce James Edwards, race, politics, and hypocrisy in 21st century America, thepoliticalcesspool.org. He's an author. He's a talk show host syndicated right here on Liberty News Radio. And he is an award-winning talk show host. His website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. James, welcome back, my friend.
Sam, it's great to be back. I wish it were under better circumstances. And we hadn't witnessed what I consider to be a travesty of American jurisprudence yesterday. You and I were actually on the phone together just minutes before the judge came out and read the verdict of the jury, and I had the opportunity to go on to another program for 2 hours, about 15 minutes after the verdict was read, and we went for two solid hours breaking down the ins and the outs and the ramifications of this ruling. And I think that it's hard to argue that mob justice did not prevail yesterday. The cowardice of the judge and the jury was staggering. I think you had a clear case for a mistrial. Of course the jury should have been sequestered really during the whole proceedings, which was not that long. The entire trial from beginning to end was less than a month. The O.J. Simpson jury was sequestered for far less reason, for a much longer time than that. And with all of the societal pressure and the media beating the drumbeats of hate to try and get this officer Derek Chauvin offered up as a human sacrifice to the false gods of Black Lives Matter, this jury should have been sequestered. Maxine Waters going in there. You want to talk about incitement? We can get back to that in a moment. But that's what happened yesterday. And you and I were talking, Sam, and I agreed with you. I thought that the reason there were so many redundant charges was because the prosecution knew that their case was so weak. They were hoping, because of all the pressure coming in from the outside, that the jury would settle for one of the lesser charges. I was surprised that they found him guilty on all charges. That was entirely overboard. And, however, I read, now I have heard different things about this. I have read, though, that under Minnesota law, he can only be sentenced for the most serious of charges. But I've also heard, even on Fox News, where you'll add up the years for each of the charges and he'll be in jail for the rest of his life or in prison for the rest of his life. I guess we'll have to see where that goes. But
now let me throw this out to you, too, though. Normally the law might count here. And I think it's worth trying to dissect what the law really means in this case, James. However, I almost think that we throw the law out the window. And let me tell you why. Not that I'm for doing this, but that's what they've done in this case right now. Because you've got to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt, is the phrase you and I have grown up with, that Chauvin would be guilty of, what is it, second degree, third degree, and manslaughter? I don't know how you're guilty of all those charges. We'll get into that in just a minute. You got to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt, and I don't think you can prove his intent beyond the shadow of a doubt at all on this case. And so, you know, if we're going to jettison that standard, innocent until proven guilty, they haven't proven him guilty. Okay?
No, they
didn't. Wait a minute, Sam. You don't know all the evidence that the jury got. I know, but I do know the instructions that the jury got. I do know the witness tampering and the manipulation that took place outside of the courtroom by literally sitting congresswomen. And the Speaker of the House backing that agenda. I do know what I saw when the mayor literally says, hey, the cops killed him. I don't care what the jury says. I hear the jettisoning of the rule of law everywhere in America on the liberal extreme side of this thing. And so innocent until proven guilty. You know what? The court of public opinion took over, baby. The media ran with this sucker. And this idea that proven beyond the shadow of a doubt is certainly tossed out the window. And I'll prove some of these points to you here as we go along. We'll get into more details on this, but I want to highlight some of the reactions from people. Let me give you the example. This is just absolute extreme belligerence. Nancy Pelosi, we're talking about Speaker of the House of Representatives, ignites firestorm by thanking George Floyd for sacrificing his life. Now, I don't get how a drug-infused, whacked-out criminal who literally is committing forgery, I don't see how they sacrificed their life begging not to die. If he sacrificed his life willingly, then he wanted to die. Maybe it was suicide by cop, Nancy. Is that what you're telling me? That he committed suicide by cop? In other words, he intentionally baited the cop into doing this, and therefore he sacrificed his life on the altar of the political correctness, leftist, Black Lives Matter, whacked out agenda that we hate cops and we hate America? I don't know, but you got to think about that with the statements being made. Okay, here's the next statement. Protesters now take the streets following guilty verdict in Chauvin trial. Take to the streets? Who does that? Third world nations? Michael Moore, whacked out Michael Moore and Hollywood celebrities celebrate verdict. Celebrate the verdict? I wouldn't celebrate the verdict no matter who it was. We're talking about a dead person. We're talking about a dead person. We're talking about a person now behind bars for who knows how long. We're talking about our justice system literally being divided asunder at the very seams in the court of public opinion. Okay? Hollywood celebrating. I don't celebrate people going to prison, and I don't celebrate people dying. Folks, I don't care who they are. Now, listen carefully. Moore calls for the end of policing as we know it after the Chauvin murder conviction. Now, let's go on. AOC and other far-left whacked-out extremists, lawmakers, if you will, on Chauvin, convicted on all counts, they still say it's not even justice. The system is not working. Yeah, Reverend Al Sharpton chimes in, reacts to the verdict, and says, the war and the fight is not over. All right, now, I look at all that, and I say, wait a minute. Not justice. War is not over. End policing as we know it. Take to the streets. Thanking George Floyd for sacrificing his life. They are now setting the next stage in their narrative. Write it down and remember who warned you first, ladies and gentlemen. All right. They are setting the stage to say, hey, there's not justice here. Here's why. There was a bunch of cops standing around that did nothing to stop whacked out extreme murderer Chauvin. And therefore, they need to be charged and guilty and as well. And we'll never have justice until that's done. What they're really saying to you is the communist agenda, which wants to divide and conquer and destroy everything good, moral, and honest, will never be satisfied with the, they smell blood now. And so now it's time to ratchet up the next stage of rage, is what I'm calling it. Again, they smell blood in the water. Chauvin, you pig, you got yours. And now we're going to take to the streets and advocate. We're going to use celebrities and street thugs combined with big corporate money to create the next stage of rage. And it's just beginning, backed by your members of Congress. Thank you for electing us. Okay, these people are whacked out crazy as loons, and they are just getting started. And we'll come back after our little break and have James Edwards just rock and roll on the stage I've set for this. I've touched on about 50 points. That way he can get incensed enough to really take it on, right? He'll get all excited and tear it up. We'll do it in seconds. I'm Sam Bushman. James Edwards with me. ThePoliticalCesspool.org is his website. And he talks about race, politics, and hypocrisy. We got them all on your radio today, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin was found guilty Tuesday on all counts of killing George Floyd. Sentencing will be in 8 weeks. Judge Peter Cahill revoked Chauvin's bail after the verdict, and now he'll have to await sentencing in jail. China's President Xi Jinping will attend President Biden's virtual climate summit this week. China and the United States are seeking rare common ground despite wider political tensions. Biden had invited 40 world leaders, including Xi and Russia's Vladimir Putin, to the meeting that starts Earth Day Thursday. The popular messaging app Discord has reportedly stopped discussions to sell to potential buyers as it continues to consider an initial public offering, or IPO. Sources close to the matter say the talks with tech giant Microsoft had ended without a deal being reached. In March, it was reported that Microsoft was in talks to purchase Discord. The messaging app has more than 100 million monthly users. This is USA Radio News.
Police officer down. It's shocking. The number of cops killed in the line of duty jumped almost 100% last year. Defunding police, stripping them of legal protections, woke culture. It's a dangerous time. But Greg Kelly is fighting back. All this week, Greg's on Newsmax TV with his special series, Cops Under Fire. Greg Kelly exposes the real threat to the police and you. Newsmax TV is standing up for our brave men and women. Watch Cops Under Fire on Greg Kelly tonight. Newsmax is on all major cable systems. If you don't get it, call your cable company. Get Newsmax TV free on most smart TVs, Roku, Pluto, Zumo, and YouTube Live. Millions have already downloaded the free Newsmax TV app on their smartphones. Already the fourth highest rated cable news channel in America. Newsmax is real news for real people.
You may not know his name, but it's almost a guarantee you know his talented work. Dan Araki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Iconic songwriter and composer Jim Steinman has died. Steinman is best known for his work on Meatloaf's Bat Out of Hell record, writing most of the music on the 1977 album that has sold more than 14 million copies. He also wrote the hit songs Total Eclipse of the Heart for Bonnie Tyler, Air Supply's Making Love Out of Nothing at All, and the power ballad It's All Coming Back to Me Now.
And if you wish upon
best known version recorded by Celine Dion. Steinman was inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 2012. He was 73.
As the pandemic is winding down, Netflix is taking a hit, losing about 11% of its value overnight. The company said a lack of new shows may have contributed to the shortfall, adding that it expected to recover as sequel shows are released. USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wyatt.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Sorry for the little technical glitch. We're getting things back together. Just imagine that happens right in the middle of the fired up Chopin or Chauvin coverage. I kind of think it's like Chopin, you know? It's like a big old political theater thing. It's like an entertainment thing. But it's Mr. Chauvin. Anyway, the sad part about this whole thing, ladies and gentlemen, is I believe the communists are letting a good crisis never to go to waste. Okay, they know full well how politically divisive or divisive this thing really is. They know it. And as a result, they're going crazy, as far as I can tell, to make sure that they take every single advantage they can get. They want to get every drop of syrup out of this they can get. And that's the problem. All right, we got James back. You with me, James?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
All right. Yes, I can, sir. So let the age of rage launch to the next stage.
I don't even know where to begin. You set the stage so wonderfully, Sam. You really hit on a lot of the high points. Well, there's no high points, but you hit on some of the most important points in the first two segments of commentary. This has been a very powerful introduction to what happened yesterday. Where to begin? I think one thing I want to touch on is this was something that really rubbed me the wrong way. And you just mentioned it. First of all, I'd say that we don't know what kind of man Derek Chauvin was. All we know about Derek Chauvin is what we know about him through the biased lens of the media as it relates to his encounter with George Floyd about a year ago. We don't know if he agreed with us on politics. We don't know if he disagreed with us. We don't know if he was a good guy, a bad guy, a jerk or a saint. We know nothing about him except his relationship with George Floyd. And that's okay because, again, justice should be blind. But that being said, I couldn't help but feel a little crestfallen when I heard this verdict being handed down. I thought it was entirely over the top. And then, though, to see what you mentioned, and that was the outright celebration, as if, and Fox News actually even put it in these exact terms, when the mob out who had gathered outside of the courthouse, undoubtedly to raise the city if they didn't get their way in this judgment, he said when they learned of the verdict, it was as though their favorite sports team had just won the championship. They were jumping and shouting and screaming and crying tears of joy. And then you had all of these evil, disgusting politicians, all the way from the senile so-called president down to members of Congress and beyond, and these vapid Hollywood celebrities celebrating the fact that a man may be going to jail for the rest of his life. What is there to celebrate? No matter what you believe was right or wrong in this case, and no matter how you would have liked to have personally seen this verdict play out, how can you be so excited that a man may be going to jail forever that you are putting it out and preening on social media? That is sick, Sam. I mean, I said this yesterday on an interview that I gave about this case. It's all sad. I didn't jump up and cheer and shout and exclaim joyously when George Floyd died. That was sad. It was unfortunate. It was also unfortunate that he had lived the life of a petty criminal and that he showed up with enough drugs in his system to kill a rhinoceros and that he resisted arrest. And if you do all of these things that invite the police to pay you a visit, accidents can happen. And this was an accident. Obviously, Derek Chauvin didn't set out to murder this man. And he should have been, honestly, charges should have never been filed. And if the races had been reversed, charges would not have been filed. Why do I say that? Well, I'll give you a very recent example that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that if the races had been reversed, charges would have not have been filed. This wouldn't have even been a local news story. And you, of course, just have to go as recently as January 6th at the Capitol, where you had Ashley Babbitt, this unarmed, young, small, white woman, certainly doing things she shouldn't do. You shouldn't break down a window and try to
crawl
through it.
Hold on. You know, in addition, though, she's a veteran, though, and we know sometimes veterans, you know, things don't go well when they're serving their country. And so not only was she all those things, but she was a veteran, I believe, deserving a little bit of an extra respect in the pass, if you want to go there.
Well, of course, you know, the officer who assassinated her couldn't have known that, I guess, at the time, but that certainly is true. But what we do know is that she was unarmed. He said, well, he couldn't have known she was unarmed. Well, it doesn't matter. She wasn't brandishing a weapon. You never know if they're armed or unarmed unless they're, you know, flashing their piece. But just because she was coming through the window, you're telling me a man, a police officer, couldn't have stopped her, couldn't have physically detained her without shooting her in the neck at point-blank range? Well, that happened. And if it hadn't happened in the context of the actions at the Capitol, you would have never heard about it. They you barely heard about it at all if it hadn't been captured on your phone camera, on something that was being heavily covered by the media at the time. You wouldn't have heard about it. But anyway, charges were not filed in that situation. Charges were not filed. You still don't know the name of the officer. We just know that particular Capitol Police officer was black. Now, reverse the races in that, in light of what we saw. No,
let me stop you there, though. And that's why I say, though, that this guy didn't know that when he shot her. I understand that. Neither do we know the details oftentimes when somebody gets shot relating to the police. We don't have their background. We don't have their history. We don't have hindsight's 20/20. What we do have, though, is in Chauvin's situation, he was dealing with a criminal. All right. Floyd was a criminal.
Yep.
This other lady, though, you know what? Not counting this Capitol discussion. We don't have criminal activity. In fact, we have service to their country. So in hindsight, we can look at that and say, you just dismissed that and say the cop had every right. But yet the other one, hey, the cop is a murderer.
There you go.
The duplicitousness, the double standard is beyond imagination. This idea that George Floyd sacrificed his life, this idea that we're going to take to the streets, this idea that we're going to celebrate a man going to prison. This idea that we're going to literally say, hey, justice is not done. There's not been near enough accountability. This idea where you literally have government elected officials saying, we don't care about the law or the jury verdict. We don't care. Okay, this points to a narrative of lawlessness, James.
Yes, it does. And so you didn't have the officer's name released. Imagine if it had been a Black Lives Matter insurrection that's going through a window and a white cop shoots a point blank in the neck. Do you think you would have heard about that a little bit more? Do you think charges would have been filed? Do you think it would have been the biggest story in America for at least a year as the George Floyd thing? And make no mistake about it. It's sickening to celebrate this, man being offered up as a human sacrifice to appease Black Lives Matter. But imagine the pressure. Now, we don't know anything about the jury either. All 12 of them could have come in with a rabid hatred for Derek Chauvin, and they were just waiting for their opportunity, regardless of the facts, regardless of the case, regardless of what was presented in court. They could have all just been waiting to stick it to him. Or there could have been some people on the jury that said, you know, I know this is over the top. I know that this isn't a just punishment. I know that he shouldn't be found guilty of at least some of these charges, but I know that they'll kill me, that there'll be violence visited upon me. You don't think that these jurors would have been doxxed by this sick media that has ginned up this lynch mob? The media lynched
Derek
Chauvin.
Hold on. In bed with elected officials. Let's be clear, James.
Well, that's another thing. Going back to the Capitol, Sam, we talked about this yesterday, too. Man, there's so many facets of this I want to get to. It's difficult. But the thing is just a little parenthetical departure. The situation with Maxine Waters, we've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that they know we mean business. Context is very important here. The media went balls to the wall of saying Trump incited the insurrection at the Capitol.
They took it to the trial in the House for impeachment for the sitting president. They impeached him on false narrative line items that have been flat out proven lies. James Edwards, Sam Bushman, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win. They lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-5000. 2000.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, James Edwards, take it away, my brother.
So, again, we're talking about just how disgusting it has been to watch celebrities, politicians, and, of course, the assembled rabble celebrate this thing as if they've won a championship. It's all sad. It's all we wish none of it had occurred. But to celebrate that, you can say solemnly, justice was served, if you believe that. But to get up and down and hoop and holler, and that's what this was. It was appeasement of the mob. And we know that you have seen, as a result of this very case, going back to last May, you saw an entire year of unabated, uninterrupted looting, arson, rioting, that caused billions of dollars. Violence. People died. A hell of a lot more people died over the course of these BLM riots as a result of the media's treatment of what happened than certainly at the Capitol or anywhere else. And billions of dollars of damage. And that was a pretty stark precedent. I mean, the jury had to have known that if they didn't give the mob what they wanted, which was the sacrifice, that they would do it again and probably do it worse, and they certainly wouldn't be reined in because they were not reined in last year. And so you had to offer this man's life to appease the mob, but of course it never appeases the mob. Any parent knows that you cannot coddle an insolent child. It only, while it may calm them down in that very moment, it only guarantees future tantrums and bad behavior going forward. So, but again, Maxine Waters. So she goes in the middle of this group. It says we've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that they know that we mean business. Now, if you're the media and you want to pretend that what Donald Trump said led to the people who were trespassing in the Capitol that day, and we're not going to call it an insurrection and we're not going to call it treason. I mean, you had some all different people. You had curious observers going in, wandering in, people putting their feet up on a desk. I mean, that's nothing compared to a garden variety BLM riot, but yet the media wants to treat that as like the greatest terrorist act with those people milling around in the Capitol on January 6th, the greatest terrorist act since 9/11 or whatever ridiculousness they were pushing. But the context matters here. Donald Trump, what he said, okay, let's just pervert it and pretend, let's squint and pretend that that caused in some way the people going inside the Capitol. Donald Trump said that to a group of people who have no history of violence. There was no violence at any Donald Trump rally over the course of the last 5 years, going back to when he announced his candidacy back in 2016.
This is the guy that came down the escalator and started talking about law and order and did so his whole presidency. Let's be very clear.
Exactly right. And the only violence that you ever saw at a Donald Trump event was the violence visited upon his supporters by Black Lives Matter and Antifa terrorists. So the context matters. You've never had any sort of illegalities coming from Trump supporters at any of his rallies when he used this rhetoric for years and years and years. Now, on the other hand, Maxine Waters is in the middle of a group of people who are exclusively known for violent protests, for destruction of property, for these are the types of people that she was there with, that if they had not, and I would be surprised if most of them had not already been engaged in riotous behavior in the past, but they certainly are cut from the same cloth as the people who have. And when you tell people like that, who are known, the only thing they're known for is destruction, anarchy, looting, burning down police stations, claiming square blocks of city centers like Portland and Seattle as their sovereign territory. When you say we've got to get more confrontational, we've got to let them know we mean business. Well, what more are they supposed to do, I wonder? What more could they do? I don't know, but saying those words to that group of people is a hell of a lot different than Donald Trump saying what he said to a group of people who had never, up until that point, even gotten a parking ticket. So, there was a move to censure her, Sam, but of course it failed because the Democrats control the House, 216 to 210.
I get that the Democrats control the House. I get that the Republicans failed on their initiatives. They had a lot of rhetoric when they weren't in office. When they got power, they jettisoned it in a heartbeat, as they always do. I get all that. And I get that the media is with the Democrats, and so it's very hard to get a word in edgewise. I get all that. I understand that Republicans are a little bit scared of their own shadow. I get that. They all want to stay elected. I get that. Okay, I can go on and on and on and on of the justifications for whatever. However, here's my problem with this. How many conservatives, how many constitutionalists, how many Trump supporters, how many rule of law people, what other group can I bring in here? How many of us can stand up boldly and say, look, they've got a communist agenda they're pushing. This Chauvin scenario is being used against the people to push for greater communist style tyranny in America. The divide and conquer tactic on steroids in the media and with our elected officials. Nancy Pelosi literally thanks George for sacrificing his life as if it was some kind of a willing act on the righteous cause of jettisoning police. They're literally taking to the streets like a third world country. Michael Moore, Ocasio-Cortez, actors and actresses and elected officials are literally linking arms, saying, hey, we didn't have justice here. We got to go after everybody. We got to go after James Edwards. Why? Well, because he went to a Trump rally one day, and later Trump rallies, they went crazy and ballistic. Trump and and James are terrorists, and Sam knows them both, and guilt by association. And you know what? We got to have justice. We got to have, and they go on, celebrating this, looking at this, saying we got to call an end to all policing as we know it, says Michael Moore. Reverend Al Sharpton react to the verdict and his comment, the war and the fight is not over. Okay, they're fixing to ratchet up, people, this narrative. Okay,
oh yeah, well, because,
but here's the question, who in the conservative circles is calling this out like I am, James?
Well, nobody. Well, that's what I'm saying. You've got to have people of backbone in Congress that are doing the work that we're doing here at the Widow's Might Radio Network, as we jokingly call it. I mean, we're doing great work here. It needs to be amplified, and there needs to be other people that at least have the courage. Tucker Carlson will nibble around the edges, and he does more than most, and he said some things last night that I agree with. But you're so right. I mean, it's liberals like Nancy Pelosi are casting George Floyd as Jesus Christ in their new religion. I mean, his death, along with the guilty verdict, has now redeemed this American system of which they are part, and their perverted thinking. And as we said, if you cave into the demands of insolent children, which we'll call, that's what we'll let Black Lives Matter and the people who riot and put pressure on the system to deliver to them what they want, or else they're going to behave badly. You coddle these people, it's going to guarantee more. And do they ever say, wow, we were wrong. See, the system, no. They don't pause for a moment to reflect or give thanks. I mean, they're celebrating the fact that this guy's, going away now, but they don't give a moment's thought of what they just were able to do under very nefarious circumstances. No, they move on to the very next complaint. There's no pause. There is no redemption. And It immediately goes on to, well, yeah, you know, the court got it right here, but nothing's changed. This is still a systemically racist system, and the courts are still racist against blacks, and police are still racist against blacks. And even though the statistics don't flesh that out at all, if you look at cops who have shot blacks versus whites, I mean, it's more whites, and even when you factor in percentage of the population, none of it holds up to actual data or scrutiny. It's just they're howling, the howling of a lynch mob. And this was a show trial that resulted in a lynching. But they don't stop. They don't stop. It's on to the next thing. Nothing's changed. On to the next gripe, and they keep going and going and going. And it's just, there's got to be some discipline. There's got to be some law. You cannot allow a mob. All of those people should have been arrested for the crimes that they committed over the course of the last year with their riotous, disgusting third world behavior. None of them were. And if they were mistakenly arrested, you had a celebrity ready to bail them out. They were given safe cover by the media, by the government. Trump didn't do nearly enough to go after them. The big mistake last year. You can't allow people to go out and destroy cities, sack police stations, burn out police stations, do all the things we saw them do, and then under threat of that, pass verdicts that you think will appease them in order to make it stop. That is not how, I don't even know, third world may be too kind. I don't even know if third worlds are that far gone.
It's hard to know how to even respond to this, ladies and gentlemen, because it's a new, I don't know how to say it. It's a new stage that we're experiencing in America, okay, as we, you know, roll down to a third world status, okay? My headline for this, James, is this: Communist rhetoric ratchets up. The next stage of rage takes center stage. That's my headline for this. Because out of the Chauvin conviction, the only thing I see is the following. Forget the media, forget the politicians, forget the celebrities, forget the all the back and forth, forget the convictions, strip everything. And I come down to communist rhetoric ratchets up. The stage of rage takes center stage. What's next?
Well, this
violence?
This is going to encourage them. Sam, this will encourage them. They're saying, wow, we put enough pressure, we can get whatever verdicts we want now. This will only encourage that they continue to do this. Why would they stop when it's been proven effective? But there's going to be hell to pay for this. I mean, right now, even we, I guess, to an extent, are only looking at this from the perspective of Floyd and Chauvin. But it will be very interesting to see going forward what effect this has on the police. Why on earth would anyone be stupid enough to want to be a white police officer in Joe Biden's America? The corporate media and its lynch mob are literally out to get you. And will this cause more pulling back of policing in minority neighborhoods that have a preponderance of crime? And if so, you will see what we've already seen trending over the course of the last year: more violence, more gunfire, more deaths, more murders, black on black, by the way. Because what police in their right mind would want to go in and insert themselves into a situation where a non-white is committing a crime? And I'm sorry that we have to make race a factor in this, because it was because of race at all that we knew this story. If the races had been reversed, or if it had been two whites or two blacks, you would have never heard about this story. I don't even think charges would have been filed. So we have to talk about race, because that's the whole reason we know about this case. Why would you, as a police officer, go into a situation like that? I think increasingly they're just not going to do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's hard to know how to even respond to this. Let's take a quick pause. Hour one in the can, hour two coming up. We haven't begun to finish breaking this down. Sam Bushman, James Edwards. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. That's ThePoliticalCesspool.org. Every Saturday night, check it out live and on demand anytime you like. Sam Bushman, LibertyRoundtable.com. We the people must engage peacefully in solutions. God, family, and country is where it's at. Restore the republic peacefully, ladies and gentlemen. But you got to start by jettisoning this communist divide that's going to conquer us all if we don't peacefully stand up now. God save the Republic of the United States of America.